This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Robert Glasper's Black Radio 3 was just awarded the Best R&B Album at the 2023 Grammys. It was Robert's fifth Grammy Award. The American pianist, record producer, songwriter and composer is heading to Australia as part of Blues Fest here in Melbourne and in Byron Bay and has shows in Sydney. And earlier, I caught up with a musical legend. First and foremost, I obviously have to say congratulations on your latest Grammy win.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's number 5, which is amazing. What does that feel like? Not your first Grammy, but your fifth Grammy.
My fifth Grammy. It feels good. It feels just as exciting as the first one, honestly. You know what I mean? Because I always say, like, every Grammy I get, it's because of a different story I'm telling. You know what I mean? A different album, a different time, different place, different feeling. You know what I mean? So each one has its own special meaning to me. You know what I mean?
What's the meaning of this one?
Just like, you know, doing a pandemic record is hard. You know what I mean? I did that record during the pandemic. I didn't have a studio because all studios were closed. So me and my friends built a studio behind my house from scratch to do this record. You know what I mean? So just a lot of like blood, sweat, and tears. Like, we built it from scratch just so I could have a place to record, you know,
Wow. And
not have to worry about the COVID and not knowing, especially that was, you know, we didn't know what COVID was really. And it was like a thing and there were people were dying. So we like really took it seriously. So we couldn't risk. So we built a studio in the back of my house and the same 4 people came every time. You know what I mean? We knew who they were. We knew what it was. And we all got tested and we didn't have to worry about extra people. And, you know, having the 2 songs with artists virtually and, you know what I mean? Them sending in files. They're not in the studio with me like normally. They're in the studio. So that creates a whole different kind of situation when you're doing a record. So it was definitely hard at times. And then to come out and win is just like, what? You know what I mean? It's special.
Well, it feels like you might also have to break the Grammy into 5 parts to give to your friends.
Right. Well, my family members have my other Grammys. I have one in my house, but I literally spread them out. My dad has one. My aunt has one. That's how I do it. I spread them around.
So this might be the friend's Grammy. Goes to the friend's place.
Right.
Now, indeed. Robert, you're heading to Australia for Blues Fest and some other shows. What are you looking forward to most while you're here in Australia?
Just to play in front of my Australian people. I love Australia. You know, but it's been, I'm trying to remember what year last time I was there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out as well.
It was a long time ago because I remember when I was there, the last time I went to a bar to perform and there was a band playing on stage and they kept asking for water. And nobody that worked there would bring them water.
So Oh my gosh.
I went to the bar because they kept asking. I realized nobody's paying them attention. I went to the bar and I bought like 8 waters, you know, and I went up to the front of the stage and I handed them out to them. And they all freaked out. They're like, you know, Robert Glasper's bringing, oh my God, what are you doing? You're bringing water. But that band happened to be High as Coyote.
Whoa, that's so cool.
And then not long after that, they went on tour with me. They opened up for me for a European tour with my experiment band. And you know what I mean? But it was that long ago, like High as Coyote wasn't famous yet.
Wow, that is, well, that is time stamping it, I guess, a little.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. Like, okay, they weren't famous yet, so at least not in the United States. Well, they weren't famous enough to get water, so I'm pretty sure they weren't famous yet then.
Oh my gosh, that's wild. One of your latest offerings is Therapy, which is featuring the late Mac Miller. It's an awesome track. It was stuck in my head. I only listened to it once and then I was walking around singing it. And I feel like that's the sign of a great track. Can you tell me a little bit about its creation?
Yeah. So Therapy was created. I was in the studio working on something and Mac Miller happened to call me. He's like, yo, what are you doing right now? I was like, oh, I'm actually in the studio. He's like, yo, I'm in the studio too. He said, I need some inspiration. Send me something.
Wow.
And I happened to be working on the track that you hear with my friend Jules. And we're like, okay, we're actually working on the track right now. I'll send you this right now. Sent that to him. He sent it back in 1 hour. And that's wild. What you hear. Yeah, it was like, boom. And he just happened to call me in the spare of the moment. it was one of the things where just right place, right time, right moment. You know what I mean? And every blue moon, he would do that to me. He would hit me up like, what are you doing? Send me something. Can you come to the studio? But if, you know, if I'm in the same city as him, we'll hang out. But if not, because he'll call me and be like, what are you doing? He'll be like, come to the studio. So I just roll the studio. You know, I've done that in LA. I've done that in New York, you know. But this time we're in two different cities, you know what I mean? So I just sent him what I was working on, and it ended up being Therapy Part 2.
Wow. That's so serendipitous. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I just had it for so long in my computer, you know what I mean? And then it was just like, oh, snap, I still have the song. We didn't really do anything with it yet, you know what I mean? So it was perfect.
And it is an incredible song. So yeah, serendipitous, but incredible. You collaborate with so many incredible artists. We actually had PJ Morton on Joy Drive a few months ago. Yeah. You've worked with the likes of Kamasi Washington. What draws you to collaboration?
I love to collaborate. That's just a part of my thing. I love collaborating with great artists who have open minds and have something to bring to the table. You know what I mean? I'm attracted to that. And I love because I feel like now we're making another thing, because me plus my whole thing is the math of it. It's who I am plus who you are equals this thing. You know what I mean? Without somebody else, I'm just me. And that person's just them. That person's just them. But now we're creating this third thing in the universe. You know what I mean? That wouldn't exist without us too. So it's fun doing that. It's like chemistry or something. Mix that with that. What do you get? You know?
Bit of science. So
yeah. The science of it. Yeah. And it became my, it also came out of my love for vocalists, because my mother was a vocalist, you know what I mean? And I love singing. I love vocal. I'm not a singer, but I love vocalists. So my thing was always to collaborate with dope vocalists.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Surely that process is always different then, because every artist would have their own different way of working, you know, with music and their process. Is that difficult to kind of readjust every time you have a new person in studio with you?
No, I'm kind of good at that.
I would assume you're very good at that.
I'm pretty good at that. I think it's just I'm very, very open to people and to everybody's quirkiness. And, you know, artists are quirky as hell. You know what I mean? So I'm used to that. And I've just been around it for so long where I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, and I know how to deal with each person for who they are as a person. You know what I mean? All the way down to, there are some people who are like, hey, could you please leave the room while I record? You know, like all kinds of things. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that, because I get it. Some people would be like, but this is my project. You can't make me leave the room. You know,
yeah.
No, everybody has their thing and what makes them tick, what makes them comfortable, you know, and I'm just used to dealing with that kind of thing and understanding it, you know.
Totally. Have you ever walked out of a collaboration with like a new view on the creative process?
Yeah. Yeah. That's happened a few times with different people. You know what I mean? With the different people for different things, you know, but it's like, oh, well, I didn't know. Or sometimes you don't really know. You think you know a person until it's time to record.
Yeah. Wow.
And then once you record, you're like, oh, wow, you are a genius. Because sometimes, you know, everybody's good. I mean, you hear good music all the time, but sometimes you don't really recognize the person's genius until you see the process. You know, how they made something. They could be two great things. You could see two singers. They're both great. You hear the ending per result. They both sound great. But if I told you one of them recorded underwater the whole time, you'd be like, what? They're a genius. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, when you see the process, see how people do things, it's like, wow, that is interesting. That is different. You know what I mean? So I've definitely had that happen for sure.
That's incredible. One of your other amazing collaboration series that you've done is Black Radio, your Black Radio albums. Was that something that you always aspired to create, or did that idea sort of come organically as well?
It came organically. I knew I was going to do that record, that kind of record, the mixed record. I knew that back in 2005. You know, Black Radio came out in 2012. So when I first got signed to Blue Note, to the Blue Note label, we even had a discussion about that. Hey, do you want to do the jazzy stuff now, or do you want to do the mixed stuff? Because in that moment, I was already mixing. I was already doing stuff with my trio since 1998 with Bilal and my trio and Jasmine Sullivan and my trio and Dwele and all these people. That all happened before 2005. Let us see. You know, I was doing that live already. That was a part of my thing.
Yeah.
Common, Q-Tip, all these people were coming to my shows and sitting there with me. So that was already a thing, but I wanted to make sure that I was in concrete, solidified, and respected as a jazz pianist first before I ventured off and did my other stuff. So, you know, since 2005, I was like, I'm waiting to do this other album. So I'm going to do 3 or 4 trio records first to just make sure it's stamped in there. Then I'm going to open up and do what we now call Black Radio. Yeah. So it was, I knew it was coming. I just waited a little while to do it the right time. Cause sometimes the timing will change timing changes everything a lot of times. Yeah.
That's such a long time to have an idea and sit with it and just be like, I know this is in my back pocket. It's such an incredible creation. Yeah. You must be immensely proud of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said before, some people think I arrived on the planet at Black Radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And I've been, my first record came out in 2001, No Mood, my first trio record. And so I've been grinding in that world ever since. And my thing was, you know, I tried to do it right, because crossing over is not easy. That you have to have a game plan and really understand both sides or all three sides. If you're doing like me, I'm hip hop, jazz, and R&B. You know what I mean? So I wanted to make sure before I did Black Radio, you know, I was on the road with Q-Tip. I recorded with Q-Tip. I wrote with Q-Tip. Same thing with Common. Same thing with Mos Def. Same thing with Maxwell. Same thing with Bilal. Same thing with Layla Hathaway. Let us, you know, so I made sure I was in the room with all these people and in their fans' faces. Yes. You know, I mean, on the road with these people, I was in the rooms with these people in their world, because that was also my world. That's ended up being my world as well. You know what I mean? And that's where some people don't understand. You can't just do another style of music and never live in that world and expect the crossover to be a real crossover. They don't know you over there. You have to go over there and live there for a minute.
Totally. It's also really funny that you say, you know, some people think you just kind of arrived. Yeah, and this is what, totally. 20 something years of hustling in the industry. And I do think it's really funny, because people, you know, it not even just in music, but in everything, you're kind of like, oh, they just popped up. And it's like, you don't know the grind that's happened.
You don't know the grind.
Yeah.
Like my friend, like Kamasi said it. He said it a good one. He said, I've been climbing the mountain for a long time. You're just now shining the spotlight on me. Now you see it, but I've been climbing for a minute.
Yes.
I heard Kamasi say that in an interview one time. I was like, man, that makes all the sense. You know, you've been climbing this mountain in the dark, but now people put the spotlight on you. It's like, yeah, but look how far I've climbed. Now you see the spotlight.
Yeah.
But I've been climbing, you know.
Well, I guess it's also like those water bottles. Like we're hustling and now I'm sure people would literally kill to give them water bottles.
Right. Exactly. For sure.
Exactly. You mentioned Blue Note, and you actually do a few Blue Note, or have done a few Blue Note residencies. What do you love about presenting those?
Well, because I spent most of my time in New York. You know, I've been there. I was there for 23 years. You know, I went there for college, and that's where I kind of cut my teeth and my career started and really flourished there. So a lot of my fan base is there. And everybody in the industry, at some point in a year, you got to go through New York. You know what I mean? And I've been playing at the Blue Note for so long. That was one of the first places. The reason I got signed to Blue Note Records is because I played the Blue Note Club, and the president at the time, Bruce Lundvall, Blue Note Records, came to the Blue Note Club to see me play. You know what I mean? Like that was the beginning of my whole career. So it's just like being home, but I'm home there for like 6 weeks, and I get to do all these. This is my playground, to do all these cool configurations, have all these special guests and all these pop-up guests just come through out of the blue. And it's just fun every year. Every year it's great. You know what I mean? So I look forward to that every year.
So cool. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you create music that really transcends genre. You know, you really do hit in like a bunch of different genres. What or who would you say is your biggest musical influence?
Very hard. Not one person, because I'm all over the place, but definitely Herbie Hancock, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, for sure. Those are like my top people that I like look at and I'm like, man, you know what I mean? They're when I was growing up, you know, I would hear their music all the time. It's like, oh man, I want to be like that. I want to do that. Roy Hargrove was a big inspiration to me as well. He passed away. He's gone too, you know, but Roy was a person that when I saw him in person he came to my high school to do a clinic, and I saw him, and I had never seen a jazz musician that dressed like me. You know what I mean? He looked young, he talked young, and he was, I'm like, oh my God, you can do that and play jazz? I thought you had to be an older person and wear a suit. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. This is going down now. I didn't know that. And he took me on my first world tour when I was in college. He told me, when you get to New York, call me. Got to New York, he took me on the first RH Factor. He had a band called RH Factor and an album called RH Factor. And he took me on that world tour when I was a freshman in college, you know, so I got to see things firsthand, how it goes. And I'm like, you're a jazz musician, but you're playing horns with D'Angelo. You're playing horns. You're on Common's album. You're doing, you know, so I'm watching him do all these cool things. I'm like, I can do that, you know?
Yeah, really like paved the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Good.
We began the chat by talking about your latest Grammy, 5 now.
Yeah.
And we've explored all of the incredibly impressive things that you've done so far. What's next for you?
I've been doing a lot of scoring, like film scoring and scoring series, you know? And so I've been doing that too. And I'm loving that, you know what I mean? So I'm going to keep doing those things. And then, I think me and my friend Terrace Martin have a band called Dinner Party, and we did a record before. So we're working on part 2, and hopefully that'll be out this spring. You know what I mean? So we're going to do that. And I'm going to think of my next, I got a lot of record ideas in my back pocket. So I always just do this, test the climate, see what makes sense to do next, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We are so excited to be hosting you here in Australia. So we very much look forward to those shows, and we hope you have an incredible time while you're here.
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive.
For sure. Thank you.
Robert Glasper's new album, Black Radio 3, is out now. And for more info about that and his upcoming Australian shows, you can head to robertglasper.com. And for more info about Bluesfest, you can head to bluesfest.com.au.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.